I'm J.G. Hertzler, General Martok on Deep Space Nine, and you're listening to Verbal Abuse.
Hi, welcome to Verbal Abuse. I'm Shannon.
And my name is Kenny. How are you doing today?
I'm doing all right.
That's good to hear.
Oh, you were talking to the fans, were you?
Oh, yeah, I'm like...
Do you do that often?
No.
No? No?
Hey, to that guy sitting in his basement, how you doing?
That's a guy in his basement. That's right, we mean you.
We're talking to you.
How freaky is that, though?
What?
That's kind of like Captain Power. Remember Captain Power?
Oh, dude.
Oh,
I could
fucking,
not get
what
behind.
What a cash grab Captain Power was.
But I couldn't get behind it. It was such pile of crap.
What?
I hated Captain Power. I told you this before.
Come on. How can you hate Captain Power?
Dude, it was cheesy. They tried to get you to digitize people from your own couch. Like,
yeah.
Remember you get the...
They were promoting violence, yes.
Yeah, I don't care about promoting violence, but you get the gun.
I don't care about the underlying social ills of that.
What was even the premise of it? What happened?
In the future, and Lord Red had taken over, and he had created a means by which you could just digitize people.
Once again, what
and
was
Captain
the premise?
Powell was a member of the Resistance.
Oh, so it's just
he
like...
He was like John Connor.
Okay,
he was the main guy.
Let's give no backstory.
There is a backstory. There's a detailed backstory in
the
show.
Dude, it's not a real... But you'll never get it as a kid. All that happens every
week
is...
Well, that's just too bad.
All you get every week on that show was that someone would be needing help. The powers that be, one of them would get shot down,
mm-hmm.
and then Captain Power and the rest of them would get together and save the day. And then they'd have to fight them.
But the show was called Captain Power and the Soldiers of the Future.
Yeah.
What more do you need to know?
How far in the future?
25, 30 years.
Oh, yeah, that's believable.
Was it not believable?
I didn't like it. I never did, even as a kid. I just...
Okay.
I could never get...
I thought, okay, because you look at things like He-Man, and you look at things like G.I. Joe, which were made after the fact to sell the toys.
Yes.
So then you get the perfect blend of that. It was the perfect storm. You had a television series that, on its own, I thought was entertaining. And also, it not so subtly said, if you want further interaction with this show and digitize your buddies and stuff, you got to go out and get the gun. And you got to get the fucking little toys and stuff.
Yeah, but even as a kid, I was smart enough to say, wait now, none of that crap's going to actually work.
It did work. I have it.
I had the generator. It made a noise. It went,
yeah, it did. Yeah.
Whoopee! Whoopee!
What about laser tag?
Yeah, but laser tag was at least to get exercise.
No,
you weren't a fat kid sitting on your couch going, boo, 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 boo. Yes. I digitized someone.
That's true.
At least laser tagging made you get off. Unless you wanted to be the first one out, the fat kid sitting on his couch and got tagged first.
And that's why laser tag didn't work, because it was prohibitively expensive. First off, the whole setup. I had the whole, like, the, God, it was a fucking Velcro strap.
And yeah, you had to have everything.
You had the thing on your chest that was like the beeper thing,
yep.
And I had the big gun, which was a heavy-ass gun, too, because it had like 500 or so batteries inside.
And then there was the inevitable fighting when you actually did find somebody else who had a gun. It's like, I gotcha. No, you didn't.
You know what they didn't factor in? Like, in order to hurt somebody and shoot them, You had to shoot them in the chest so it would register the hit.
Yeah, so you turn around.
All they had to do was either turn around or cover their fucking, like, put a shirt on.
Yeah, it was no.
The whole premise of laser tag gets ruined by the fact you can put your palm over the fucking sensor.
Look, if laser tag had been done like Starship Troopers, remember when they were doing the training and they're running around and they put...
Yes.
And you actually took your buddy out. That would have worked. Like, he was like, I'm shocked. And then, you fall down.
That would have worked.
You know?
They're like paintball, man.
Well, that's why paintball is fun. You know, have you ever done it?
Yeah.
Oh, paintball? You hate
it. No, I would say paintball's fun, yeah.
Yeah, paintball's actually a good laugh. I've played it a couple of times, and there's nothing more satisfying than shooting your buddy in the groin and going, oh, I didn't mean it, man. You're thinking, yeah, I so meant it.
What do you tell your listeners?
I meant it.
We were talking before we hit the record button. About Mighty Mouse.
Yeah, a classic cartoon series that apparently is never being brought back or...
Just dropped off face of the earth.
Never seen again.
I think that's Warner Brothers has the rights to Mighty Mouse.
I do believe you're right. But it's been so long since I...
I can't even think of who it is. Yeah.
Yeah. I remember the little theme song. Here he is to save the day.
Here I come to save the day.
Or here I come to save the day. You know, and it was back during that genre of like cartoons where you didn't really care what it was. It was like, it was just cool that a mouse was going around kicking ass.
Yeah. Taking names.
Taking names and going home at the end of the show. It was like...
But like the... Like, I have vague memories of it, because I saw it, obviously, you and I both saw it in reruns 30 years after.
Yeah, after the fact.
But I don't know if it was popular. I don't know if people really got behind it. Like, it was blatantly a ripoff of Superman.
Yeah, it was, yeah.
He was a super-powered mouse, you know, with a cape.
Yeah.
And instead of a blue...
That's how they got around it.
Yeah, that's how they got around copyright, too.
Yeah. We'll put it... Was it a yellow suit he wore?
It was a yellow and red suit.
Yeah, yellow and red. So,
like, a red cape and a yellow suit.
Yeah.
And I'm going to say he had a white belt.
Maybe.
I don't know if I'm right about that, if I'm remembering it right, but I remember he used to basically beat up a lot of bank robbers, and that's all
I can't even, you know what? I can't remember one villain from that entire show. You know, and I watched...
I know he had like a Minnie Mouse... he had a Minnie Mouse kind of... He had his own version of Lois Lane, I remember that. And I remember he did have some job that was very analogous, if that's a word.
Yeah, close.
Analogous, I guess you could say. It was very much like Clark Kent, I remember that. But I don't remember all the details of the show.
Yeah, because he had a dual identity, too, with Mighty Mouse.
He had glasses.
Yeah, he was like a little nerdy mouse.
He was a little nerdy mouse, yeah. You know? But, like, when you think about it, they made what's that dog? Not Wonder Dog.
Underdog.
They made an Underdog. Wonder Dog, what a fucking... What am I talking about? Hot dogs now?
Wonder Bread with your Wonder Dog.
Wonder Bread with my Wonder Dog. But they made an Underdog movie.
Which wasn't very good.
Well, nearly had the same type of dog. The species was completely wrong.
It's like, let's base it on nothing from the original series.
They just took the name, you know.
Yeah.
But of all of the things that come out that get redone, like Star Trek and Star Wars and all the big properties that come out, when you think about the simplicity, especially with CG and especially with like DreamWorks and stuff.
Easily done.
You could easily make a Mighty Mouse movie now and people would eat it up with a spoon. Because the concept is pretty much Superman as a fucking little mouse.
No, it would really work if they brought back the cartoon for Saturday mornings, not even the original, just make a new cartoon.
A new cartoon, yeah.
And bang, 5 years from now, you could have a motion picture.
Yeah.
That's how you do it.
Develop some, like a groundswell.
Yeah, just give it, like, you know, because...
But does Saturday morning cartoons even exist anymore?
I don't know.
Do you think in today's...
Not like they did when we were kids.
Yeah, like in today's generation of 24-hour family channels and stuff, every day is Saturday.
Well, that's the thing. And the stuff the kids watch now is not even remotely close to what I watch.
Very educational programming.
Yeah, and yet kids seem dumber than ever. So. I don't know. It's maybe a little
because they don't have a Brave Star or a He-Man telling them not to do shit.
Let them have a gummy bear, man. You know, I had a gummy bear.
I love gummy bear.
Yeah, gummy bears was a good cartoon when I was a kid. I had my G.I. Joe, like you said, the Brave Star. So,
but all the stuff out today is good.
And you know what?
We just sound like fucking two old men now. We're those two old men of the fucking TD Bank commercial. It's Saturday.
Saturday morning. The bank should be closed. What the hell kind of
community? Don't we totally sound like every time we knock or talk about how cool shit was when we were kids 35 years ago?
Well, you know what? There's some validity in what we're saying.
To our minds?
No. Because think about it. Everything is about the 80s, man. They still want to draw back on the 80s.
That is true.
You know, even comics,
but
movies,
do you think that's just
TV?
A cash grab, though? It's easier to get the rights to something that's been dead since the 80s than it is to get the rights to something that's
new. I'm
not
just talking about the rights to stuff, but they always try and go back. Even styles. Styles are going back to the 80s and that. Like, you see, is Lady Gaga any different than Cyndi Lauper? Back then, Cyndi Lauper dressed like a freak. You know, she dressed freaky, she sang freaky, but she was, and now all of a sudden it's like,
Yeah, but you know, in Lady Gaga's defense, if you can give her a defense, she obviously is inspired by people like Cyndi Lauper. So she's doing
she
that. I think it's an intentional, inspirational thing.
Okay, fair enough.
You know, but I don't think that she's trying to, I can't say that because I don't know much about it. Lady Gaga, other than the fact that gay people love her. And what is it they call
it? And we're okay with that. Yeah,
yeah, we're okay with gay people. We're talking about you, fan. What is it they call them? Monsters. If you're a Lady Gaga fan, you're a monster.
Yeah, I think so. I was reading...
When are we going to get to do that, though? Right? So, okay, so certain fans, like Hulk Hogan had his Hulkamaniac.
Yeah.
The Beatles fans were Beatlemania, obviously.
Yeah.
Okay, so if you're a Lady Gaga fan, you're a monster. What if you're a Virgil Abuse fan?
Then you're an
abuser. Do we get the chance?
Maybe not the tag that you really want attached to your name. I'm a fucking abuser.
That's not the name of the fan base we want. It's the name of the
it's
fan
like,
base.
It's like, oh, so he did come to the right address. Get in the back of the patrol car. Yeah. Abuser for life because you're being let out of your apartment complex. Right on.
Yeah, I think we might have to rethink that.
Yeah, maybe not the hashtag you want.
That's true.
Yeah.
But wouldn't that be awesome, though, like, not just to have a fan base, but to have the ability to have a nickname or to entitle your own fan base? Because obviously she started that up.
Oh, well, that's the thing. No, look, none of this stuff happens by accident. Hulkamania? That wasn't like... Some little kid went, I'm a Hulkamaniac. No, they were like, Hulkamania, Hulkamania, Hulkamania. Guess what you are? You're a Hulkamaniac. I'm a Hulkamaniac.
So, yeah, that's true.
You know?
But yeah, but like...
This stuff gets force-fed on people.
And that's probably why, back in the day, things like the Beatles seemed so organic. Because I don't think the Beatles sat down and said...
No, back then...
A whole bunch of screaming fans. They just went out and played their music and then... People started to like it, and fans got behind it.
Yeah, once again, and not dwelling on the internet era versus, like, you know, back when we grew up in that.
Mm-hmm.
But stuff like that.
Back in our day.
Yeah.
Back in old time days.
Back in olden days. But back then, people actually, like you said, they came up with the names.
Mm-hmm.
They were the ones. And then the groups are like, what? You're Beatlemaniacs or whatever you want to be called, like, you know, or Hulk. Well, like I said, not Hulkmania. But for, like, the Deadheads.
Mm-hmm.
The Grateful
mm-hmm.
Dead fans. Mm-hmm. They came up with that. Grateful Dead never came out and said, okay, you're a fan of us, you're a deadhead. That's what they call themselves. You know, and it was just, it's, like you said, it was organic. People just came up with it themselves and it stuck.
Yeah, and I think that that's been missing. Corporate culture took over. At the end of the day, it was just, let's squeeze money out of stuff. And I do think that some of the renaissance of the 80s stuff that we grew up on now is simply because it's been dusted off.
Oh,
and it's
yes.
cheap. Because look at it. The Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. They've had how many runs now?
71.
Yeah, like it's a lot of fucking incarnations of that. And it's just two dudes who created these characters back in the 80s.
Yep.
And they're just making money hand over fist one after the other. And even though people think, oh, well, the turtles died. You think the checks stopped coming in?
Yeah.
Well, these guys have been rich since the 80s.
Yeah, I don't knock the guys who created it. No,
they kept
more
the rights.
Power to them.
God love them for that. They kept the rights.
Yep, and that's the way, you know, if you're going to create something like that.
But that's what I'm saying. Whoever it was created Mickey Mouse, or Mighty Mouse.
That would be Walt Disney for Mickey.
Yeah. Shh, don't say that word. You know, I hear that they like to have a lot of losses. But whoever created Mighty Mouse did so not... to cash in or not to make merchandise or whatever, because he was some, you know, whoever it was, he or she, they were working in an animation studio.
They
were asked to come up with an idea. They slapped something out. They said, okay, let's do a cartoon version of Superman. Bam, okay, what are we going to use? Anthropomorphic mice. Yep. We're good to go.
Well, is it any different than music? Back in, especially if you go back to the 70s, 80s, even the early 90s, there was tons more music available.
Yeah.
Because the big companies are so worried about making a profit that they won't allow a band that they're like, hey, they sound good, but we don't know if they're going to identify with the youth or this group or that group. So no, we're not going to give you a record deal.
I think the first time that I noticed that, and I'm sure it happened before my time, but Nirvana and the whole explosion of grunge, the way they commercialized grunge, because grunge was legitimately a movement.
Yeah, and that was the whole point.
That was an underground style.
It was supposed to be anti-establishment.
Yeah. And it was like punk. It was like a new version of punk.
Yep.
And, of course, just like punk, it became, okay, let's label everybody grunge, and let's make it a corporate thing.
Yeah.
And it hastened the demise of grunge, but a lot of bands got rich real quick on that.
You want to hear a fun little story about grunge?
Sure.
Well, not so much funny, but just interesting. All of the grunge terms that came out, like, at that time, apparently what happened was one of the main magazines, like
Spin Magazine.
Spin Magazine, whoever it was. They contacted the secretary for one of the bands. It may have been Nirvana. And anyways, they said, like, you know, oh, like, grunge is really hot now. Like, do you have grunge terms? His secretary came up with them on the fly, off the top of her head. Like, you know,
did she put down the heroin needle before she did that?
but it was, I was reading about it, and I can't remember the grunge terms, because it's been, you know, since the 90s. Well, say...
We're too straight-laced for that.
Yeah, say ripped jeans. Mm. She called them rags. You know, even though that's a generic term, but she said, oh yeah, anybody who's into grunge that wears, you know, ripped jeans, they call them rags. Somebody writes all this down. Next thing you know, everybody refers to what this woman came up with off the top of her head as grunge slang. And she said, yeah, I just thought that stuff up on the fly. And, you know, so sometimes when you're not looking for what actually happened, you know, you find out.
You find out that the reality is not as cool as the fact.
Yeah, it's like, a secretary came up with all that term. It's like, I thought that was pretty cool, though. And good on her.
Off the top of her head like that?
Yeah, like 15 different really popular.
But again, it's just, there exists very little in this world. It is because of the internet, and it is because there simply is more outlets for people to get out there. Like, there's 100 different stations now, and you know, like, movies are just getting to the point where they're redoing the same old movies again and again. But it's getting to the point where I think with the proliferation of the internet, there has been just, we're reaching the end of originality in terms of ideas. There's nothing left you can do that hasn't already been done.
Yeah,
like, if you go back 100 years and you invent Popeye, you're making money.
Yeah, you know? True enough.
And that stupid idea of just this unemployed fucking sailor, you know, who's got like a kind of dense girlfriend, and he eats, I don't know, steroids, like it's steroids in a can, you know, it's all there. And he's got this guy Wimpy who is perpetually broke and is always trying to get money off him because he has an eating disorder.
And there's a tough guy in town, Brutus.
Yeah,
Bluto.
Well, they keep changing the name to either Brute. Who was it? Didn't he have a dog? Didn't Popeye have a dog?
Yeah, I think there was a dog involved, wasn't there?
Which one was Bluto? Bluto was the bad guy.
Big strong guy. Like, you're
sure Bluto wasn't his dog?
Maybe Bluto.
Bluto might be the dog and Brutus might be the bad guy.
No, I think Bluto was the bad guy.
I'm getting all fucked off. Anyway, the point I'm making is sorry that one guy.
He's sure
listening to us on the headphones.
I know you're on the internet now going, fucking idiots, you don't even know what you're talking about.
Research. Yeah, do some research. But that whole core concept, that's how, like, when you first say it, you say, well, someone sketched that in a diner for like 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And you say, here, you know, I gotta meet a deadline, here you go. And that endured for however many years, 75, 80 years. And I still can't think of, I can't even think of the bad guy's name. But yet, it's Popeye.
Yeah.
It's floating around in your subconscious. Even though there's been nothing new for Popeye in how long? Since probably that fucking movie.
Yeah, probably since Robin Williams did.
Probably since that movie. And based on that, yet, you know the character because it exists in pop culture for so long. But if somebody approached you now and said, here's my idea, and explained the Popeye idea, you'd say, what a stupid fucking premise. Or you'd immediately think, this was done before, and here's the 5 different ways it was done before.
Yeah, but you know what?
Nothing originally
existed. Part of the problem that you're running into there, to be quite honest, is that you're shooting down ideas because people today like to think they're so sophisticated.
The internet
and
is
like,
created
that. I couldn't possibly read about a sailor who drags his poor woman around and eats spinach.
Hmm.
It's like, and it doesn't get a chance anymore. Who knows? Maybe Popeye, if it was invented today, would be ultra cool. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It's like ideas are just. It's not that there's an end
more
of originality. Yeah, there's. It's not that there's an end of originality in, like, you know, film and all that. It's just that I think a lot of these studios and that now, they're not willing to take a chance.
Yeah, they play it safe.
Yeah, they totally, you know. It's like, oh, hurricanes are popular in movies, so we'll make 15 hurricane movies.
Hurricane.
You know, just, it's like, oh, alien invasion. That's hot.
That was a trend for a while.
Now we got to have alien invasion, you know, constantly.
You're right, because look at, like, I guarantee you that when they created the first Jaws movie, there was no trend they were jumping on.
No.
They just
no.
said, oh, this is a hot book, and we're going to make
it. It was a creative story. And, yep.
I mean, Lucas with Star Wars back in the 70s, everything was gritty and badass.
Yep.
And he did this movie that was bright and colorful and spandexy and cartoony and stuff, and he bucked the trend.
Yep.
And that's how you stand out. You buck trends. That's the only way you can stand out. Superman. There was a lot of characters that existed previous to Superman who had capes, who had, you know, they could jump really high, or they were kind of limited in vulnerability, but none of those elements were put together.
No, it just so happened that Action Comics seen something.
Bam.
That's it. Yeah, we'll try it.
Yeah.
That's all it was. We'll try it. They never thought it was going to be anything, I'm sure.
No, these guys were banging out. The guys who created Superman were banging out.
Stories in weeks.
They had done lots of stuff that nobody remembers now. But when they put the idea forward, the editor at the time looked at the proposed cover of Superman lifting the car, the famous cover, and said, this is never going to work. Like, no one's going to buy into this. No one's going to believe this. An alien lifting a car. And now, 75-odd years later, you look at it and go, oh, he's kind of boring. You know, because it's been done to death by so many people, and other things have been done since then. It's just, I don't know. I think the last time that there was a burst of creativity was probably, had to have been the 50s and 60s and stuff. When stuff
I'd
hadn't
say
been 50s, done 60s, before,
even the 70s, there was still, because
nah, the 70s, man, come on, bell bottoms.
Disco
was not cool.
No, but the thing is, there was still creativity in such stuff as Battlestar Galactica coming on TV. They'd bang out episodes of, like back then.
Battlestar Galactica itself was a ripoff of Star Wars.
Yes, but they were fearless back then to put something on TV. Sort of like the Fox Network now.
Yeah, you're right.
You know, they didn't care.
Nobody would put out something that was a blatant ripoff now.
Yeah.
They'd be afraid of being sued.
Yeah, and not only that, they're afraid it's not going to make money and they're going to have to haul it off after two episodes.
Yeah, that's true.
You know,
that's
it's playing it safe now. It's killing, like, you know.
You're right.
TV is dead anyways because of all these reality bullshit TVs.
Yeah, reality TV destroys TV is what it did.
Pretty much.
Because it's fucking batshit easy to fucking create a reality show.
And you know what
the sad thing is? You're hiring people
who
are nobodies, sure, and you're editing the crap out of what they're standing around talking.
They were already doing reality TV on the smaller networks like TLC and that.
Mm-hmm.
And people who enjoyed that were watching it.
Yeah.
And then all
it had
of a sudden,
its own shit.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden, once it became mainstream with that, I can't say Survivor is garbage.
Awesome. It's not terrible. Dude.
It's not my cup of tea, but The Bachelor and Bachelorette, that is garbage.
The initial burst of spin-off type shows that came after Survivor was what killed.
So I want to marry an egg next week. What?
So I
want to
be a verbal abuser.
Yeah. I want to be an abuser.
But yes, that is what killed. Because I remember when Cops was really the only reality show.
Yeah.
And it was unique because you were like, you're tagging along with Cops.
Yeah. But you know what? Now there are some really good, speaking of like Cops, but like Alaska State Troopers is a fantastic show where you actually, Drug Inc. is a great show. Where you get to see the stuff that the average Joe.
You can call that, you can classify that reality TV, but that's also what you consider real life stories. That's not scripted. That's literally...
That's the difference.
Okay, you're going along with a police officer. I'm sure it's edited, but it's not scripted. If you take the idea of, here's a guy who doesn't know this girl, but they're going to get married in 3 months, and we're going to script,
it's
that's
silly.
Not reality TV.
No, it's silly.
That's the behind-the-scenes fake bullshit that goes on.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just... I yearn for the days, man. I wish we lived back, man.
Well, I'll tell you...
Like the 1920s, man. Think about it.
Big
you
dirty
and I,
fedoras.
Big dirty fedoras. You and I would be fucking. Think about it. We would be kings of all media. Because you could actually create. Okay, here's our idea. It's a radio show. There's zero gossip.
All I'd have to bring back is 120 and we'd be the richest guys. We'd be media moguls right off the bat because we have a $20 bill. We can start our own station.
But think about it though. Like, when you had an idea back then, all you needed was a sponsor.
Yeah.
Like the Superman radio show, okay? Kellogg said, yeah, we'll sponsor that.
Yep, so it got
the show ran for like 13 years straight.
That's
all over the fucking United States and Canada. And now, you can't... Do people even listen to radio?
Occasionally.
You know? Like, it's kind of gone back to, okay, radio was the final frontier at one point. Podcasting is the new version of radio.
And, well, you talk about repetitive, too. Original ideas, podcasting, even.
Yeah,
there's so many... I mean... We're not gonna kid ourselves.
We're not gonna reinvent the wheel here.
No, there's 1,000 people doing what we're doing right now.
1,000? Much more than that.
No, I mean, okay, yes, that was just a number off the top of the head.
Yeah.
But there are, like, literally thousands upon thousands and thousands of people that are And they think, you know, oh, I'm going to do a podcast and I'm going to be a big star because a guy like Smith did it.
Kevin Smith.
Yeah.
Yeah, but my take on podcasting, I've done podcasts for years. I never made a dime on it. But my take on it is if you're not somebody first, if you don't have your own version of abusers, if you don't have your own, like,
fan base
that's going to seek you out immediately, then you're not going to make it. What the hell is that?
A dime.
That's my dime.
You just made a dime,
oh,
sir.
I appreciate that, sir. Thank you. There's my dime on podcast.
I just gave Shannon a dime so he can finally say he's made money.
Thank you, dude.
Yep.
But
now you're going to have to switch that to, I never made a quarter.
I never made a $20 bill.
Okay, we're not getting that.
But, yeah, it's you know, comedians and actors and singers and people who were somebody first.
Yeah.
In a related field.
Yeah.
You know, in the communications field. They get to be the big dogs on podcasting, and everybody else follows their lead.
Yeah, it's kind of hard.
I don't know of anybody, and I'm honest, I don't know of anybody who is started off as a nobody and became a somebody solely due to podcasting.
No, neither do I.
I stand to be corrected, but I don't think it's ever happened.
And I hope, you know what, I hope we're wrong. I hope there's not...
Yeah, I hope
we're
it.
I hope it's us. Yeah. But, you know, not even for us, but for guys out there, you know what, I wouldn't care if... I love to see guys, you know, breaking into whatever industry because of podcasting, be it banking. I became a banker because I was podcasting and, you know.
I'm sure that happened.
And the Imperial Bank of Canada said, you know what, the guy knows his numbers. We better fire him. Mm-hmm. I'd love to see, you know.
Yeah, but you're talking jumping into an industry. I'm talking, okay.
Becoming famous.
Yeah, I'm talking becoming famous.
Yeah, that's not happening.
I really don't think that there's somebody out there who is... listening to us, who says these guys would be great on like NPR radio or CBC radio or something. I don't think that's going to ever happen. It's just, it's not. And
no,
I'm quite content and comfortable with the idea of podcasting being something that's a hobby and it's fun to do.
And if we entertain somebody in the process,
that's the only thing I do it for.
Yeah.
That's I don't care about anything else other than if we talk and somebody finds it amusing, then I'm good to go.
Yeah.
Right.
And if you want to send a dollar to Happy Dude, we'll gladly take your money if it's entertaining you.
Can you imagine, though, like, charging for stuff like that?
Well, that's another thing, too. The internet opened up free stuff to everybody.
The internet opened up people's wallets is what it did.
You know? Oh, yeah, for sure. It's cost, you know, these big businesses have lost some money, lots of money because of the internet, but they've also made lots of money because of the internet. It goes both ways.
Mm.
You know, and once again, we're not looking, like we said, we're not looking to make money. We're just looking to have a bit of fun, and, you know, that's the key.
But if somebody offers money.
To Happy Dude, send $1, you know.
But I just think that there is very little that's original left. I mean, podcasting, as much as podcasting is new and fresh still, it's still new... Because we're not regulated by the FCC or the CRTC.
So we can get away with
it. A lot of people went into the podcasting realm who came from radio and the restrictions of radio. But at the end of the day, if you narrow it all down, podcasting is truly just a next-generation version of radio 100 years ago.
Yes, it is.
And that, to me, means that as unique and original as podcasting is... This has been done before. It's like Battlestar Galactica. All this has come before.
Yeah.
Just in a different form. Because I don't think, well, there hasn't been anything new technology related. When was the last time something new was invented? There's new versions of phones. iPhone is not a new invention. It's just a phone.
You know what? Hopefully most of the new inventions come medically.
To be honest, that's
my biggest concern. I don't need a new toaster that tells me, you know, what time it is and doesn't app. You know, but you can cure cancer?
But,
yeah, that'd be worthwhile.
And that's my thing. A lot of people think, oh, what a bright new world we live in. Brave new world.
Yep.
We have this, we have iPhones, and we have, you know, microphones that help us do podcasting, and, you know, all kinds of new things.
Yep.
They're not new. They're just repackaged versions of old things. You know, like, there literally hasn't been a new invention in quite a long time.
Hey, my 50-inch plasma TV...
is a TV.
It's a TV.
Yeah.
It's been around since the 50s.
Yeah, about that.
Yeah, so, you know...
Again, iPhones.
Except,
you know,
those little Japanese hands made it all small.
Except we used to bomb the Japanese, and now we ask them to build stuff for us.
Build us some toys.
How did that ever happen?
How
do you bomb the fuck out of a nation? How do you do that? And then a couple of years later, you have this great relationship where they're developing all kinds of, like, devices and fucking like cheap electronics for you.
I kind of look at it as the bully in the schoolyard. You know, one day you kick the shit out of a kid and, you know.
You sound like you speak from experience, sir.
25 years later.
Where that rolled off the tongue there.
25 years later, you're lying on a bed getting open heart surgery and you look up and there's that kid again. It's like, sorry, man, we're good, right?
Yeah.
We're just fine. You know? And I think it kind of resulted in the same thing. It's like, yeah, we bombed him into submission, but.
I'm keeping this fucking dime, by the way.
Oh, yeah, you got to. You got to put that in a little plaque. You made your first dime.
Oh, do I have to put a little plaque?
You know, like they see in a restaurant, the first dollar up on the wall? You got to get a little plaque.
Was I ever telling you about, oh, God, it's ridiculous. You remember the China Kitchen, the restaurant over on Fossil Road?
Yeah.
Yeah. I went in there one time, and they had, like, their first dollar up on the wall.
Yep.
And I didn't recognize what type of dollar it was. And I said to the woman who worked at China Kitchen, Kenny, I said, is that a Japanese dollar? And she went blink, 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 blink. No, it's a Chinese dollar. Oh, right, because you be Chinese.
No. You ignorant of fuck.
In my defense, this was in the days before I saw an awful lot of people from different places, okay?
I tell you, you fool, I get the fuck out. You were ignorant of fuck.
I wasn't even worth her loading it down with MSG. I wasn't.
She's like, we're so spitting round eyes food.
But yeah, that was not my brightest moment.
But why would the first dollar be an Asian dollar? Like, shouldn't
it because I think it was
a Canadian dollar?
I think it was like, you know, the first bit of money they brought over with them or.
But it's supposed to be the first
I know,
dollar at the restaurant
the
makes. Yeah.
Where do you think that even started?
China.
No, not the dollar. I'm saying the idea of taking the first bit of money you made and hacking it up on the wall.
I don't know, but I think it's a great tradition. Like, I've worked at places when I was younger, worked at, you know, restaurants and that, mm-hmm. Chinese restaurant. Mm-hmm. And same thing, first dollar up on the wall. You see it at, you know, fast food joints and that. I'm not talking like McDonald's, Burger King, the big ones, but local little restaurants, fish and chip places. Mm-hmm. Like, a lot of them do it.
But why?
I don't know.
What does that denote to you? Clearly, your business still exists if you walk into it.
Yep.
And if you take the first dollar you made, or whatever it is, and you put it up on the wall, I don't really understand what the message behind that is supposed to mean.
We made a dollar.
Yeah, I know you made a dollar because your place exists. I'm here.
Yeah.
So clearly, you've made money in your existence.
Would it help you if they put up a $2 bill? Like,
maybe a Japanese dollar or something, I don't know.
A yen?
Yeah, a yen. But I don't understand the message that they mean by that. And I don't understand how the tradition even got started. But
well,
I really don't know.
Yeah, but dude, if you're going to talk traditions, there's millions of traditions. Like at, what is it, a Polish wedding or Jewish wedding? I don't even know. The one where he stamped
on the
glass.
The Greek one.
But the Greek one where he smashed the plates. What the hell are you doing?
Yeah.
There is symbolism behind it. I'm sure if we've researched it, which we do with none of our topics,
no.
We'd be able to figure out.
What a boring show that'd be. We're just regurgitating facts.
Yeah. Yeah.
Welcome to verbal abuse, also known as Wikipedia.
Yeah, which is not always accurate, mind you, but.
No, granted it's not. But I bet you they've made a dime.
They may have made $2.
Yeah. I should put this up on the wall, yeah.
Get a bit of tape, just stick it onto your toaster.
But I just, like. Yes, I understand the tradition, and I understand it's something that businesses have done for a long period of time. I just don't understand why. Because you're trying to denote to your customers, look, we've made money before. Well, yeah, I know.
Well, maybe it makes the very first customer who comes in feel better. He becomes a regular, and he says, that's my dollar, and then he turns word of mouth to his family, and his family tells their friends, and next thing you know, the business is booming for that $1.
Have you ever in your life over at like a Sobeys or a Shopper or something.
Before you go any further, my answer is probably going to be no. We'll
yeah,
continue.
Have you ever in your life said, here you go, little fella, here's my money. And I'm so happy about that, giving you my money, that is, that I'm going to go tell 5 people I gave you my money and help spread your business.
No, but I will tell people if I had a good product.
Yeah, but I just...
If it's good fish and chips and you're at a fish and chips place, I'm going to tell people, man, that place had good fish and chips.
So you're saying that the whole concept of hacking something up on the wall came specifically and strictly from word of mouth from the first customer.
It gets you talking, which is what we're doing about it right now.
That's about.
So, you know, it's I guess it's like a...
You know what the weird thing
about
that is?
It's a coffee book. It's a coffee table book about coffee tables, yeah. You know. So,
but you know what the weird thing about it is, though, as much as I don't understand the origins of it, and I'm sure I'll research it later because I'm that boring.
Yes, pretty much.
I guarantee if they ever stop doing it, we'd notice.
Yeah, you'd walk in
because we're the old people now that notice things the way things used to be.
When my vision is good.
If my arthritis isn't kicking up that day.
If I can get up over those stairs into that restaurant, yeah, I will see if that dollar is still there. Nope, not happening today.
It's true. But yes, maybe we should. Like, if we actually do make a dollar off this show, then...
Happy Dude, $1.
We can, no, you know what? We can do it. What's Happy Dude $1? I don't want to do that. Now I got to register our fucking accounts.
Yeah, that's Happy Dude.
Just to get our money.
A PayPal account from Happy
Just
Dude.
For the sake of our money.
Actually, it's a Simpsons ripoff, so.
Oh, okay. Well, stop with the Simpsons ripoff. I don't want to get sued.
Okay, sorry. We're not doing Happy Dude for $1. It's Happy Guys for $2.
But we can't even use Canadian, like, dollars. Why? Because it's a coin.
Oh, yeah. I can't even say
we would have to get an American dollar bill. Because I think there's a lot of dollar bills in the States.
Yes, they do.
God love.
And they have $2 bills, but they're kind of rare.
Yeah, and we don't have any of those.
No. Just cool. Plastic money now.
Yeah.
Our 20s are made out of rubber.
Yeah, they're almost indestructible. They're almost like Superman.
Yeah, but the problem is they stick together. If you get either bit of dampness on them.
I wouldn't know. I don't. I'm not like money bags over
there. So when you're paying your prostitute with your sticky fingers, you better check and make sure it's not 2 20s stuck together.
Yeah, but I don't like you, money bags. I don't have a fucking, like, you know, a wallet full of 20s, right?
I don't have a wallet full.
Yes, you do.
I have two.
Yeah, I have two wallets full.
No, I have 2 20s in my wallet.
Oh, okay. I'm glad you explained that out for people.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, so, but do you think, okay, if you, to get back to, about the rights of things, do you think that the guy, like, we know the story behind the people that created Superman.
Yeah.
Had a lifetime of dealing with Warner Brothers and DC Comics and trying to get money and recoup their investment somehow, and DC kept fucking over.
Same as the Tim Hortons.
Same as Tim Hortons in Canada, exactly. Like, the guy who, Tim Hortons, the hockey player who died. His wife quickly sold the rights and then regretted it afterward.
But she got money down the road. But yeah, she should have had money from day one.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot more money.
She should have made a fortune from the first.
He gave her $1 million payoff.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Now, granted, but $1 million.
She was out of her mind at the time with grief and drugs and alcohol, apparently. Yeah, yeah. She was messed up when.
Yeah. And the business partner took her for advantage.
That's how they turned around and said the deal wasn't fair because you took advantage of a woman who wasn't in her right mind, which. Normally, I call bullshit on that, but that's been well documented that, yeah, she was not in her right mind. So
yeah, it was a couple of weeks after her husband died.
Yeah, paid a woman.
The guy shows up and he says, sign here, please.
Yeah, because you hear her so many times about stuff. Oh, man, I can't believe I did that. I wasn't in my right mind. Bullshit. Yes, you did. You're just trying to squeeze an extra couple of bucks out of it, you know.
And you never have a problem with something that doesn't go anywhere. You only have
a problem when it becomes
successful. Think about it, though. You know, in defense... Jerry Siegel and Joe Shuster, the guys who created Superman, they created a lot of stuff, but you only remember Superman.
Yes.
So in defense, they wanted a piece of the pie once Superman started making money.
Oh, of course.
You know, like, they were being paid for a long period of time, for years after Superman's creation, up until Superman started really making a lot of money, and DC started really making a lot of money, and the money's rolling in, sponsorship was rolling in. That's when they wanted more money, and that's when the problems began.
Yeah,
more money, more problems.
Is it any different than the wrestler who, he's nothing. He becomes a wrestler. He ends up in a big federation. Everything's been given to him. His name, his gimmick, everything. And then 5 months later, he's never heard from again. But yet, if he goes on to be a successful one, he wants a piece of that pie if for some reason he gets out of wrestling.
Timmy's a hockey player. You know, you're content to take the entry-level salary. You're content to put up points. But then you go back and renegotiate because you've proven you can actually do that.
Yeah, but at least that's been taken care of now with the latest couple of CBAs that you can't say, oh, I had a great year last year. Give me more money right now.
All right, fine. But that's you know.
But pro athletes, I don't even count them. They get so well paid for what they do.
From day one, right?
Yeah.
But, yes, but, like, look at the guys, like, that we don't even know who created fucking Mighty Mouse.
No.
Not a clue.
No.
But... whoever did...
probably never ever looked for credit.
Exactly. And didn't do it specifically with the aim of, I'm going to do this. Level one is it makes money. Level two, I get more money. Level three, it becomes a franchising deal. There's a television marketing campaign going. They just did it for the sake of doing it.
Well, it seems...
like, the days of doing work for hire are
gone.
Over. They're long gone. People now, their motivation is, if I do something, I want my money.
Yeah.
I want money, money, money. Right?
And I have no problem for someone getting paid for their job and what they're doing. But the problem is, everybody is looking for the fucking the golden key now. They want to come up with an idea and just rush out and make $1 million.
Yes.
It's, once again, it's like podcasting. A lot of guys probably got into it because it was fun, but there's so many people out there that think they're going to make millions of dollars because you're sitting down having a conversation.
Yes. I've personally interacted with people.
And that's crazy. You know, not everybody is going, you know, what are we calling, if we came up with something super original here tonight, well, it's our choice whether or not we want to put it up for free.
Mm-hmm.
Or we want to keep it to ourselves and try and make it into an idea to make money off of it.
I don't think you're ever going to come up with something that, even if you do come up with something that's innovative and hasn't been done before, unless your podcast is already free, no one's ever going to hear it.
Okay,
no one's spending money.
A kitchen full of a toaster, a kettle, a stove.
I like where you're going with this.
They turn into robots. We'll call
it. I gotta cut this out.
Kitchen bots.
People are gonna steal this idea, man.
Their arch enemy is the fridge.
I like where you're going with this.
It has potential. There's no. Yeah. Well, you know,
I'll get on the franchising lights.
Yeah, we better jump on this idea.
And merchandise the crap out of this. But yes, it's true. Like, I mean, podcasting is just another form that has been populated by people who, by and large, they have a passion, but they also have an eye towards, you know, okay, can I make some money out of this? Can I do this? And, you know, for the most part, if you can get your server space covered, you should be happy.
Yeah, you should be happy. Yeah. Well, you know what? It's the guys that make it with anything that are generally passionate about just what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
It's the guy, anybody who goes into anything, unless you go into, like, you know, you want to become stockbroker. Okay, obviously, if you're going in to be a stockbroker, you want to make oodles of money. But the guys
oodles of money there to be had.
But the guys who go, I'm sure there's guys, once again, like we said, we don't know of them, but I'm sure there's guys who made lots of money outside the famous people like the Smiths of this world at podcasting.
I don't think you make money directly with podcasting. You had to have another support.
But it became
system.
A leapboard or a springboard into something else. But they were passionate about what they were doing,
yeah.
And they didn't expect to make anything, is what I'm saying. The guys who don't expect anything out of it, those are the guys. It's like the kid who puts on a pair of basketball sneakers, a pair of skates, a pair of cleats when they're children, and they play the sport for the love of the sport, and they go on to become professionals. They didn't mean to become professionals. They just had such a passion for it that that's what they ended up doing.
But I think, you know, not to use podcasting as the only example, because this is just the way the world works now. If you have a few people you can look towards, when you look at one Kevin Smith, you don't realize there's probably 10,000, if not 100,000 people who tried to do the same thing he did. And
that's just in the U.S.
It's just in the U.S. alone. It just didn't work. But people don't like focusing on that. People don't like to know the truth. Like, for example, people don't like to hear, here's the truth.
Star Trek?
The guys who created
shit now?
Yeah. The guys who created Superman were paid for their efforts.
Yes.
You don't want to hear that.
No.
You want to hear, but Superman made boatloads of money. Yes, but these guys were paid. They were hired. Here's your job. You're paid.
Yes,
you're
out. Paid to do a
right.
job. And then
done, and that's it. People only want to focus on the cash cow. It's like, you know, they want to focus on, well, this person did it. Why can't I?
Not everybody is Edison.
No, exactly. And they should just be happy with what you got.
You know, because Nikola Tesla, who is brilliant. Fucking inventor.
Yeah,
brilliant. He never patented any of his shit.
I know. Listen, okay, look. I know that Tesla was a smart dude, okay?
Brilliant.
And I know that there's not a lot written about him and not a lot known about him.
Not enough.
But, man, the stuff that he's been accredited with having created. Okay, so you're telling me this guy that not many people know about is like the smartest dude ever who created everything.
He's very smart, yes.
There's been an awful lot of conspiracy theories about him, though. We'll talk about him next show.
Okay.
We'll do. Yeah. We'll do a whole thing about conspiracy theories.
Yeah, because
I love talking conspiracy theories.
Because you're mental.
I may be mental, but I mean a dime today. Yeah. I mean a dime on this program. So
there's a lot of conspiracy about that dime. You don't even know where that dime came from.
It's true, I don't. I know it didn't come from Japan.
That dime came from the wrong side of the tracks, pal.
So did you. I'm Shannon.
I'm Kenny.